I want to introduce my guest, Mr. Bobby Rush. How are you today, Bobby?
I'm doing great. Everything great. I'm glad to have you on with me. I just thank you for all the opportunity to give me to speak to you and the folks.
We are happy to have you. I certainly am. I want to talk about, you have so many distinctions, but I want to narrow it down to two. In no in particular order, let's go with the 2024 Grammy Award. Talk about that prestigious award yet again, the importance to you, and about the album that it was credited for.
Well, let us talk about the Grammy period. I've been up for 7 times. I won 3 of them. The first one when I was 83 years old. Found me wrapped around a song. It was a good album, was wrapped around a song. The next time I won, the whole album was broke down, stripped down. Where I come from as a young man playing behind the curtain and playing in the back room, back porch, what have you. This time I kind of aimed it at my whole life and both sides of the fence. Let me explain about both sides. Because I have crossed over to a white audience, but I have crossed out the black audience that I always had all of my life as a man, as a blues man, as a black man. And not only that, this makes me happy about record like the last one, All My Love for You. Not only was category of one song, equally 10 records voted on equally, and that made me have the best album. I'm very proud knowing my writing ability, production ability, my stand ability, and being blessed to be here as long as I have. To still have it enough to keep writing where people understand me and give me a shot and vote for me, all the Academy and all the people who love the blues and respect the blues and keep the blues alive. All to see me with this Grammy, and it means more to me than anything I've had in my life, because it's not just a record, it's about the CD itself.
You went up against some stiff competition and you came out victorious. So,
but you always, Rob, you always go up against competition because there's so many great guys and ladies that in this field do what I have. Somebody got to lose, somebody got to win in this situation, and I won. I'm very happy of that. Along with saying that, I accepted this award for the guys that never got a chance to win an award, even nominated, with Johnny Taylor, Tyrone Davis, Sam Cooke, and many of them that never got a chance to, because the category at one time for the blues or for this category that I am now. Now we have a Southern Soul thing happening down Dunson, speaking up for them, because it bothered me that the Southern Soul don't have a category or anything in that area. Not that they're good, bad, what have you, but I understand they're human beings and they need a shot too. We hope somewhere down the line that'd be a category for them.
So that door hasn't been opened yet?
Not been opened yet. And really I'm saying that to you because I remember my brother went on myself with Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf. There was no category for the guy, just blues player. And the voted with no category. I'm telling a white guy started doing the blues, then open the door for the black guys. You got white guys who play the blues like you play the blues, sometimes less than you play it. But they get a credit for doing more than you do with the blues. So those kind of things bother me. The next thing bother me is that you got black guys who want to sound like white guys, who trying to sound like they black guys. And we'll copy up that. You know, that's because we want to win, we want to be in the light, we want a category that cut out for us. I'm saying all this because I was 83 years old before I won a Grammy. And I had many records bigger than this, Who, Chicken Head, I Ain't Studying, and many others. But that was no category. It's still lacking of category because I said to you, because a lot of time, because we're black.
That doesn't seem to change, regardless of our station in life. We are born in this skin color, and we have to make the best of it. And you've made an exceptional best of your particular talent, God-given talent, God-given skill, and your creativity. And I'm just curious to know, you know, where does that creativity come from, and how do you keep it fresh? Interesting.
I guess because of my father being a preacher and my religious background, who believe I have failed a lot of times. I have did things I shouldn't have done. I have made mistakes. When a man makes a mistake and he knows it, he can correct himself or herself. But when you make a mistake and you don't know it, quick part about it. Bible teaches me that a man will do wrong so long you think you're right. So if you think you're right and you're wrong, you're in trouble. When you know you're wrong, you can straighten it up when you're ready. But I've been at this singing entertainment business for many, many years, 72 years. It's been some ups and downs. But Robert, every time I have run into one of my valleys, I wanted my locals in my life, somebody or something coming along to lift me up. I was thinking this morning how blessed I am. You called and wanted me to do this for you. Not only is it for you, it's for me also. And give me courage and give me strength knowing that someone like you want to interview me about my life. Somewhere down the line, I must have done something right. At least I've been blessed enough to be in the right place at the right time for someone to call me. I don't know what you call me because good or you don't have nobody else to call on. Old and ugly, you know? but I just appreciate that. I said that in the last because I'm so thankful, Robert, to be around doing what I'm doing this long and still enthused about what I'm doing and still have hope. Because a man can live a long time without water or food, but he can live long without hope. I still have hope. I'm still learning. I'm still blessed. And people still calling me like you to do interviews about my life, about what I do. And finally, Rob, I'm making a little money, don't we?
That is great. And this information, your work, your craft, is so worthwhile that we just can't keep it there in Mississippi. We got to share it with the world as you've been doing with your music. It is inspiring people in front of you, behind you, on both sides. So the fact that you are a pioneer, a trailblazer, you are on the cutting edge still. Is it the music, the message of the music, or is it the spirit that's well within you, that was put within you at birth, that keeps you as vibrant, as energetic, and enthused as you are now?
I think it's a combination of all the things that my father, my belief, my spiritual background, my blessing. Robert, I have done a lot of things I shouldn't have. Everything I did, right or wrong, I would do it again because at the time when I did it, I did the best I know how to do what I was doing. Although sometimes it wasn't the right decision, but I made the best decision at the time of my life. It's like writing a book. You always write about what you're doing. I wrote a song that I'm really crazy about. A lot of songs I'm crazy about. This particular song, speaking of it, said, making a decision sometimes sure can be hard. Make a decision for yourself is different when you got others in. Making a decision about an old woman cry is different when your mama kissing can and hush don't cry. Don't make an old woman cry. Lord, help me make the right decision. And I thank God every day for my mind to make the right decision. But allow me a chance to correct some things I haven't did right. Even though I failed, when I was able to get up and dust myself off from my downfall and my falling. And I want the whole world, the young people, take a look at Bobby Reed at my age and time. Come through all the things I have come through. I couldn't eat at certain places, couldn't sleep at certain places, couldn't go where I'm going now. A lot of things have changed, but still, God has given me the mind. When I do fall, I don't stay there. I get up, dust myself, try it again, again, and again. And I will take my hat off all the people who gave me the strength of doing what I'm doing. And sometimes knowing there's no money in it, but I am who I am. I'm an entertainer. I'm a harp player on the guitar player, the bass player. And I'm going to do this, man. Retirement got in my blood. I'm going to let God retire. And I won't do that on my own. And I'm going to do it so that I can't do it no more. God has given me the mind to remember well. I have 119 records. And I can sit here now, Robin, with at least 150 songs in my head. God has given me the. I'm thinking of everything.
You almost leave me speechless here, Bobby.
But I make it easier for you, Rob, because I'm talking. You know?
Oh, well, let's talk about the region of the country we both love, and that is the South. We're men of the South, and just want to have you talk about just how the culture of the South, the spiritualness of the South, has impacted you and you as a performer, you as a writer. How has the South really helped to be your constant companion, if I can use that?
Well, the South have been everything to me. Let me tell you a little something about the South. I migrated from the South to the North. 1948, I left Louisiana. Went with my father to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. My father was a pastor of a church in Arkansas and Louisiana. In 1951, I wanted to go to Chicago so bad because I had met Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Harlow Wolfe, John Lee Hooker, all Little Walter, Jimmy Reed, all these guys were in Chicago coming south to perform. And I got to meet these guys. Everybody was telling me, you got to come north to be free as a black man, as a blues man. I wanted to go north so bad, but I didn't have enough money to buy me a $7.50 ticket to Chicago in 1951. I had enough money to buy myself a ticket to Memphis, Tennessee, for B.B. King and Sonny Boy Williamson, and was working on Beale Street along with Rufus Thomas. I worked on Beale Street, on the street, tap dancing with my guitar, with a hat box, and music. Making $6 to $7 a week, not a night. So I got enough money to go to East St. Louis where Chuck Berry was, Albert King, East St. Louis. I made enough money on the street to go to Chicago. When I got to Chicago, I went on the street at Jewtown in Chicago. And then I got a job at Chess Record Group. Now, I'm saying this to let you know how I migrated to Chicago. I thought when I got to Chicago, this was it. I was in heaven. I didn't have to go through all the prejudice thing, Jim Crow thing I was dealing with in the South. When I got to Chicago, Muddy Waters, Jim, a few other guys, J.B. Lenore, taking me to Blue Island, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. At that time, to the best of my knowledge, there was no black people living in this town. But there was a club called Skins, and was a white audience. And I went and got a job there. And I was making $7.50 a night, me and the band. Three pieces. And we had to play behind a curtain every night because it was a white audience. Because we wanted to, behind this curtain, they wanted to hear our music. They wanted to see our black faces. And I said to myself, I went back to the Southern state to say, I wanted to come back to South because at that moment, I thought the South was even better than the North because I would expect to be treated like that in the North. Here I am in the North and treated just as bad, if not worse, than I was in the South. So it tells me that if you're black, you run into the same thing whether you're in Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., California, wherever you are, you can run into the same similar kind of thing. Because Robert, I found out as a black man, a lot of things have changed. So many things remain the same. So here I am, enthused talking to you as a man, as a black man, about my blackness, about who I am, where I am, where I've been, where I'm going, where I'm planning to be, want to be. So thank you for having me on to talk about this. And hope that we can get some points that people can understand that where I come from, where I've been as a man, here remains the same. It's still a struggle. Still a struggle. I remember in 1951, I was playing a little place called Cotton Club in Illinois. And I had B.B. King every Wednesday night to open up for me. Green, I wanted Muddy Waters to open up for me. I said B.B. King, but I meant Muddy Waters. But he opened up for me. He would charge me $5 to the center. I paid Muddy Waters $5 to the center. So I'll build my deal with Muddy Waters. It'd be like Muddy Waters and Bob Fresh. And I get my name from Klaus. I did this kind of thing. Now I catch myself working a lot of things. Now I'm doing a lot of things. Still trying to hustle my way into the light of being with the big boys. Now, God have blessed me to be around this long. I'm the one of the big boys. I'm the BB King, age-wise. Now I began to make some name for myself and do some things for myself. Hope that I can influence young men, young black men and women to come this way, but I want to learn the craft, learn it well, learn how to protect your rights, the writer's right, the producer's right, your artist's right, your publisher's right, all of these things, so you can build your nest egg, your amarella, that you can control and have some control and make some money with it. Because I didn't make any money with a lot of things, a lot of it because of my lack of knowledge. So now I have learned how to. I have 429 records, and I own most of the masters. A lot of it was because I learned it through my trials and tribulations. I'm saying that to you, Robert, let you know that we can. We can make it.
Well, Bobby, you were talking about the more things change, pretty much the more they stay the same. As creative as you are, that's sounding almost like some future song you might be putting together because, we see some degree of evolution, but then when we look at the bottom line, things have changed, but some things still the same.
Yeah, Rob, you see what we're doing now, we in the Zoom, we put it at a distance, and it sounds good, looks good. It reminds me when I was a child. We didn't have electrolytes, didn't have an inside toilet. We had to go outside to a toilet. Robert looks bad. He felt bad. I have 9 bathrooms. It smell good. But Robert, everything we do inside the toilet remains the same.
Good point. Excellent point. You travel to China. Talk about that experience because I recently read that and was just intrigued by the fact that you're a blues man in China. Talk about that.
First one, how I got this deal in China, like any other deal. The guy didn't have money or what was my call. Not even my cost. He had a band. but he needs somebody to represent the U.S. I said, okay, I'll do this. So the guy said, okay, so what's the deal? I said, well, you don't have to pay me any money. Well, I talked to him about money and the footage of it. He couldn't pay me the money, so I said, I'll do this free, pretty much free, if y'all give me the footage that I bring my own cameraman and I would record what I do in China. So they did. They took a lot of me. They, you know, China is a kind of country where you take a bow to you, you take a bow for them. They embraced me, one of them. That's not China to do that. They embraced me, man. And they take me as one of the family, you know, as a family. But now I own the footage of the thing that I've taken on myself. So those are valuable pieces of profit of mine. I own the footage of that I did in China. It may not seem to be bigger now, but I'm not on longer in this life. It will be footage that I have for my family, passed down to my family, so they can get pay for some things and for my being in China and the whole bit. And I have taken advantage of a lot of people, not intentionally, just because I was in a position where they couldn't pay me, so I made a deal, you know, and the deal was good for me, man.
And ownership has its privileges, right?
Yes, 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 yes. You know, I was thinking as you were saying that, how blessed we are being in a time that we can do things like we're doing now, this interview, recorded at a distance, a time and a place where sound great and hope that we're looking great. But I do that, I say that because mortification. You know, all my is good. You know, been a time where we couldn't do interviews like this. We have to come in a studio, I'll be there personally. Now I can record in Chicago, send my tracks to LA, and the guitar player in LA, we overdub in 2 or 3 seconds. 2 minutes later, we got it back on the tape and sent it to New York to get the drummer put his part on. Back to you in 30 minutes. I mean, we can record the whole thing, different part of the country now. Modification thing, pays. New day now, man, you know. And, I'm not as savvy as I like to be in with my phone and whole bit, but as an old man, I do pretty good, man. I'm thanking
you. You do quite well there, Mr. Yeah. Rush. You do quite well. And the one thing that I'm most proud of, I'm proud of you, absolutely, very much so. The Mississippi Legislature, proud of you. Talk about the distinction that the Mississippi Legislature this bestowed upon you.
That make you feel so good. Make me feel like I'm wanted. Make me feel like I'm somebody. When the House side, Senate side, 100%. We embraced. But I did them the same way when I went to, I won the award. I said, I'm accepting this award for a lot of guys who are in my position, musician, entertainer, haven't gotten what they do, and I'm accepting this in the honor of them. And I also said, picking it up, I said, I'm taking this back to Mississippi. This award is for you. And everybody probably didn't. There's a few people who appreciated and understood that I was bringing it back to Mississippi. Because Mississippi is like the root of the blues, man. The blues are the root of all music. And it's the mother of all music. If you don't like the blues, you probably don't like hip hop.
You can't have hip hop without the blues.
That's right. No. You got to have, you know, and then the rappers came along and they do good at what. They listen to the blues. They listen to me, James Brown, the whole bit. Bobby Rich, probably wouldn't be no be a dime a quarter or something like that. But Robin, I think the most thing that I'm so grateful of, God have given me, allowed me time to be in this life, to do what I do, finally making a little money doing what I'm doing. And I'm still in love with what I'm doing. I'm still enthused in love. You know, a man can do wrong so long, you think you're right. But when you're wrong and you know you're wrong, you correct yourself anytime. Because I have did some things I shouldn't have done. And everything that I've done, Robert, I think I can, because I did the best I know how to do at the time when I did it. It's like writing a book. You can only write about it. If you go through this life, when you learn better, you do better. And that's something that I have learned not to do anymore. Not because I grew it, just I learned not to do those. I'm here to tell you that I'm so happy that you asked me to do something. It's about my life, about where I've been, where I'm going, what I'm doing. And hopefully that it'll be helpful to someone in this business, this life, that encourage them to stay on the boat. I have failed, I got up, and if I fall again, I get up just myself. Keep going. Because that's what matters. It doesn't matter if you fall. What matters if you get
up. It's been my honor to share this time with you, and I hope I get a chance to talk with you again, because it never gets boring talking to you. I learn something every single time, and I'm inspired every time that I speak with you.
Let me say before we end this interview, Robert, let me thank you for what you're doing and what you plan to do, because what you say about me and my music and the music, thank you for your kind words. Thanks for all you have done, all you plan to do, because people like you keep me alive, keep the blues alive, keep the young women, members of women alive, who sang the blues. Keep us enthused about what we do. But we got young people out here now don't want to be blues singers. It looks like some of them don't want to be black. Because I tell you now that I have crossed over. It may seem like that into my audience, a lot of white audience now. Sometimes I go to a place I have to be. That's because I grew myself. But I want the world to know that I haven't turned my back on people. I'm from and have going to bridge the broken. So thank all of my fans and friends. Robert, personally, thank you.
My guest today was the legendary Bobby Rush, the 2024 Grammy Award winner for Best Traditional Blues Album. If you find yourself away from your favorite radio station, you can find this episode of Like It Is and many more on your favorite podcast app. I'd like to thank listeners who have kept Like It Is on air for 30 years. I'm here for you and want to hear from you. Send me a message on www.greenthumbfoundationinc.com. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.